I don't know if we're gonna have time for all this stuff.
We'll just hit it quick.
Yeah, I guess if we go through it pretty. That's what we should call the new segment. Time to do a drive-by. We'll see how long that segment lasts before we get inundated with complaint emails. Hello, and welcome to the CultCast, the best sometimes 30-minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. I'm your host, Darefon Elijah, and I'm here with... in my personal opinion, the sexiest cult caster we have. Well, second sexiest. Alex Excelsior Heath.
Thank you, senor.
And it's just me and Alex E. Heath this show. Buster couldn't make it. He had a beard incident. His microphone got tangled in his beard, and he couldn't get out of it, unfortunately, to make the show. And Leander is... Do you know where Leander is, Alex?
I think he's somewhere in Amish country.
You would think that Alex is joking. He is not joking. Leander is in Amish country. I saw him posting pictures of him and his family on a wagon. I think it was a wagon. It was being drawn by horses.
Yes.
And they were on a tour through Amish country. So I think Leander has officially become more American than me. And I can't say for sure, but I'm pretty certain he was dressed up like the Quaker Oats guy.
he always is.
Well, that's true. But he was wearing the hat and like the full buckles
on the
shoes. The knickers with the buckles on the shoes and everything. And he was going through a tour in Amish country. Now, I'm going to reveal my ignorance to you, Alex. And in kind, you might have to reveal yours. Where is Amish country?
Amish country would be, I believe, if we have Amish listeners, A, why are you listening? And B, I'm sorry.
I'm sure we have many Amish listeners.
But to not offend any Amish people, I'm not going to be too specific. I believe it's in the mid-eastern to midwestern part of the country, you know, kind of like the, you got the deep south, but then where Leander is around the, the Smokies. So,
you know, I'm going to go out on a limb here and say probably not many Amish listeners. I don't think we probably have any at all.
I would hope not, because I wouldn't want to be responsible for whatever happens when you betray your Amish.
When you get de-bearded.
Yeah.
And I'm guessing that's what they do. And I can only say, you know, it's not worth betraying your faith to listen to this show.
No.
It's not worth it. But we have a great show regardless.
I thought of what this show is, because it's just you and me. And in a way, it's kind of like Mexican basketball.
How's that?
Juan on Juan.
I'm going to leave that part in. And you could deal with the repercussions of that statement.
I'm sorry also to any Mexican listeners.
And Spanish listeners, which, yes, by the way, we appreciate and love both.
I love Spanish
people. Traditions.
I just had Tostitos last night. I gotta stop.
I think you just made it worse.
just made it worse.
A beautiful people, a beautiful culture.
Yes, absolutely.
A beautiful language.
I had
welcome to all of our Latino, Spanish American. And our Spanish listeners, we actually have people from Spain listening.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing.
I just realized that. In fact, our own Charlie Sorrell, many people probably don't know this because he sounds so British, lives in Barcelona. I wonder if he's an actual Spanish citizen.
For their sake,
I hope not.
I hope not as well.
Hey, let's cruise through the news. How do you like that? Just made that up right now.
I was thinking we could call it drive-by.
yes, you were. And since you had already made the offensive comments earlier, I think we should probably just go with the news cruise.
Okay, well, that's fine.
That sounds like a foghorn. Let's talk about, well, the biggest story of the week is, in my personal opinion, Logic Pro X. Yeah? Start with this one?
Sure.
Now, let's just get this out of the way right at the top here. Neither Alex nor I are audio editing professionals.
Well,
I am more than you. Actually, I guess in a way I am an audio editing professional.
Hey, yeah, you are getting paid to edit audio.
That's very true. But
I would not classify myself as an advanced user, and Logic Pro X obviously was built for the advanced audio musician, audio editor. So with that at the top, we got a new Logic Pro X. It has a brand new look, tons of new features.
Mm-hmm.
I thought maybe what we could do, Alex, is just kind of touch on the bigger, higher level features, because we obviously don't have time to
There's no
everything.
Point spending a lot of time on it.
Yeah. It's... So some cool stuff that I thought was awesome. Well, maybe not so awesome for this first one. Has a darker gray but brightly colored look, so it kind of looks more like Final Cut Pro X now,
very
which
Final Cut Pro,
I like the look of. It has a feature called Drummer, which is a virtual session player. This is amazing. This kind of technology even exists. So essentially what this feature is a virtual drummer. You can have a track going. It will listen to that track and then come up with a cool drum part for that track. So this is not like you're tapping virtual drum pads, creating your own drum track. This is Logic listening to your track and creating its own drum line, which is pretty amazing. And then you can tweak this thing in a million different ways. They model it off of some of the best drummers in the world. There's also a customizable drum kit that lets you experiment with thousands of different sounds. There's for you guitar players, new pedal boards. for most of the musicians out there today, or I should say the vocalists, you guys might appreciate this feature, Flex Pitch. So I love this. This is literally what Apple had to say at the beginning of describing this Flex Pitch feature. With Flex Pitch, there's no reason to get hung up on a performance that's less than ideal.
So I can be the next Rebecca Black.
No need to sing good anymore. Now with Flex Pitch, you just hover over a note and Logic will take that off key note, that off pitch note, and bring it right up to where it needs to be, or bring it right down to where it needs to be.
Your own personal T-Pain.
That's right. Now anyone can make their own hit record. Oh, this was a big feature. So Logic includes a remote app, or I should say works with a remote app that functions on your iPad. So you can pair your Mac and your iPad, and you can control Logic from anywhere in your room with your iPad. Pretty cool, yeah?
Yeah.
Not a feature you'll ever use, but hey.
Hey.
And those were kind of all the higher level features. The app is $200, available in the App Store now.
Yep.
You know, I'm kind of on the fence on whether or not I want to buy this.
Well, Cultcast listeners deserve the finest, which is not even a word, but whatever, edited show ever.
Yeah, I agree. You know, but the thing about Final Cut Pro, again, in my opinion, is that it's much better for musicians. So if you're, it's much more oriented.
Final Cut Pro is video, bro.
Oh, I'm sorry. Sorry. Logic Pro X.
Gotcha.
I totally tuned you out on that one. Sorry, bro. Mm-hmm. Final Cut Pro, Logic Pro X, more towards musicians. And there are other apps out there that are better for just general all-around audio editing. So
yeah, I would agree.
Kind of on the fence about that. But if you want to check out the full review, Jim Dalrymple. Did I say his last name right? I always butcher that
probably.
Guy's last name. It's a lot
Someone
of,
out there
it's
knows.
A lot of L's and R's and Impels. Jim Dalrymple at theloopinsight.com. Oh, well, yep. loopinsight.com, not the Loop Insight. He did a full review, so he must have gotten his hands on it early, and he seemed to really like it. So if you want to read more about it, check it out there. Let's talk about Google Maps next, Alex E. Heath. We got a new version.
Yes, Google Maps is finally on the iPad.
Yes, which is cool, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, people that love Google Maps, they have it on their iPad as well as their iPhone.
Now, let me ask you this. Why would you want to use this? I think it's cool that this is on your iPad. Not trying to be a hater. But why would you want to use this on your iPad?
Well, actually, I've used my iPad as a navigator before because I have a RAM mount for my car that lets me mount my iPad actually from like my dashboard, but it's like it actually hooks. It like comes out from under the passenger seat.
So you drive around. With an iPad mounted in your car, using this for navigation.
This is kind of embarrassing, but this is the reason. Because my AT&T iPhone gets horrible service in certain areas that certain Kentucky, like other areas that are around Kentucky.
Backcountry?
In Kentucky,
okay.
Yeah, backcountry, all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. So when I'm going out to get moonshine and I don't have service,
it's hard to find your location.
Yes, I happen to have a Verizon iPad. And so that Verizon iPad gets service just about anywhere I go. So I know that I can count on the iPad. So when I'm taking a trip somewhere where I know I'm not going to have good service and I need directions, I'll just bring the iPad along.
I'm visualizing you driving around in your car with an iPad mounted in there.
I actually feel really cool. It's kind of like a spaceship.
So a feature that you might actually use then.
Yeah, I have my iPhone mounted from the RAM mount that's on my dash, and then I have the iPad mounted from my seat dash.
Okay. And you actually, I've used the iPad for travel too, never really using Google Maps because it wasn't available, but some other kind of vector map solutions. And something that a lot of people don't know is your GPS, if you have a, well, if you have the cellular model of the iPad.
Yeah.
Works regardless of whether or not you actually are using data or not.
Right, but so, I think turn by turn requires data.
I believe you're correct. I think the actual turn by turn stuff does use data. But so this would be cool even if you didn't have data, because you could use your iPad to navigate. Like if you're walking around a city that you're not from, maybe you're traveling. Let's talk about some of the other features. Scusi, enhanced navigation, including live traffic updates and incident reports. This is actually on your iPhone too, by the way. So Google Maps 2.0 is just released and includes the native iPad app. Explore is a feature that lets you browse and discover popular places to eat, drink, and shop, and includes Google reviews. I played around with this a little bit. So when you're searching for a place.
Yeah, it's like Yelp.
It is like Yelp, yeah, pretty much exactly like Yelp, except it integrates Google reviews and then Zagat content.
Yeah,
I've mentioned this before. I don't know
Zagat.
Anyone, sorry, Zagat. Is it? I think of Street Fighter 2. Is it like that, Zagat?
I have no idea.
Okay, well, I don't know anyone that really uses or relies on Zagat. I mean, have you ever used it in your life?
No,
yeah, neither have I. I don't know what the, I don't know what the drive is to use Zagat as opposed to just Yelp reviews or Google reviews.
Just people use Yelp. That's fine.
Also integrated are Google Deals.
Yeah,
which, again, something I'm never really using.
Indoor mapping is kind of
indoor mapping is kind of cool, and
so you can find your way to Macy's in the mall.
Yeah, find your way to the men's tight jeans section.
I do that often.
I know, that's why I brought up that example.
Wow.
Did the previous version of Google Maps, I usually just use Google Maps for driving directions and haven't delved deeply into it. Did it include Street View?
Yeah.
It did, okay.
I haven't used it in a while because I actually use Apple Maps on a daily basis.
Yeah, I use Apple Maps quite often as well, so... it probably was included. In fact, I seem to remember us talking about this, and they would have mentioned that if it were new. So you get walking directions for malls, transit centers, airports, so on and so forth. The new Google Maps, 100% free, available to you in the App Store right this very moment. Hey, since we're on our news cruise, Alex, should we also talk about some hardware?
Yeah.
Let's talk about... iWatch. Now, iWatch. We've been talking a lot about this recently, but I feel like things are kind of coming to a head because we keep hearing more and more and more rumors, and they're coming from varied sources, which to me is always a good sign because it means that things are actually starting to come together.
I don't know if things are coming to a head, but I would definitely say that more coal is being put in the choo-choo. Do you know what I'm saying?
Oddly, I do. And I'm so happy that you just created that example on the fly. Yeah. It's a wonderful example.
Yeah.
So let's describe these choo-choo coals.
I just coined something. I need a
patent. That was good too. That was
on my next. I'm going to say
analogous gold right there.
When I report a rumor, I'm going to say it's obvious that more coal is being put in the choo-choo.
Hey, you know, with examples like that, it's only a matter of time before you end up writing for, you know, a pretty major publication. I'm thinking New York Times.
Yeah, definitely.
That's New York Times level material right there. I'm going to give Malt Wasberg
an email.
I'll let him know. So let's talk about Apple on aggressive hiring.
Yes.
Trying to get people to help them create the iWatch. So last we spoke, Apple had been trademarking the word iWatch in multiple countries, which may or may not indicate that they actually are creating it. To me, I think it's kind of a clear sign. It's like, why would they care if they weren't serious about this? I don't necessarily think they're going to call it the iWatch. In fact, they'll probably call it something totally different. But do we have any details you want to share, Alex, on Apple's hiring spree?
Well, Tim Bradshaw from the Financial Times, who's a solid reporter, says that according to his sources within Apple that, there's a lot cooking in the iWatch department. He's saying that the project has progressed from an exploratory phase into having a lot of employees on it, which it jives with another report that said there were like 100 designers on it a couple months ago. But he also said that Apple's looking outward, so they're trying to like bring in some small startups that are specializing in, you know, related technology, connective wearable technology. And I think that kind of, I don't know, it raises some questions about Apple's ability, and I guess they're running into some problems. So they're looking outside for some fresh talent, which is a good thing. I mean, it means they're really committed to it. So, that was basically the gist of the report, that it's gotten to the point where they're hiring a lot to get people that can make this possible. And I think the general consensus is that it was supposed to come out this fall, but they've run into all these development issues, and so now they're planning on a late 2014 launch.
And they've hired Paul
Deneuve of Yves Saint Laurent.
Thank you for saying that. I wasn't going to try
again. Special projects.
special projects, y'all. Stock but options, y'all.
That's just speculation. There's no. Clear connection. The only thing is that he's worked in fashion, but I mean, he was a numbers guy. He's not exactly like a designer. So,
really? That part I didn't know.
Yeah, he was a paper.
So they hired his accountant. Or
no, yeah, he was like a number cruncher for IBM back in the day.
Oh, okay. That makes it different.
He might be involved in marketing because he is the guy that has been really good at taking very high-end, expensive things and marketing them in an attractive way, which is, you know, kind of what Apple's about. So, but there's no clear connection to the iWatch yet.
You know, I was thinking about the iWatch today, and I think the iWatch, and we've probably talked about this in past shows, I think it's a major misnomer to even call it iWatch, because I don't think it's going to have anything to do with time at all. Because we've talked about how a lot of people don't wear watches. People aren't going to start wearing watches. But then Tim Cook at D11 expressed interest in wearable technology. And now I'm kind of thinking, whatever it is that Apple's working on, I think it's going to be a piece of wearable tech that, sure, will tell time, but it's going to be like all these other health monitoring devices, like the Fitbit and stuff. That's going to be a major functionality of it, I believe.
Definitely. I mean, Tim Cook is on Nike's board, and he wears a Fuel Band.
Does he really?
They have a deep relationship with Nike.
Interesting. And no one has quite got this technology right.
Right.
And well, Apple's kind of in a like, prime position to do so.
What I can see is like a hybrid between like a Siri-type device and a Pebble and a Fuel Band. So kind of like those, kind of like the normal stuff, the messaging, the time, email notifications, and then the activity stuff, the fitness tracking, and then maybe some cool voice stuff or something like that. I don't know.
See, because the stuff that we always end up focusing on is the, you're going to be able to read your text messages on it. Oh, you're going to be able to tell time.
And I'm
like, why did anyone want to do that on a watch when your iPhone does that so well already?
Yeah, I think it's a small part of it. I definitely think they'll make it attractive in a way that we haven't thought of. I mean, think about back before the iPad came out. It was their last major new product category that they released. Think of all the names people were coming up for trying to name that thing, right? I mean, it was like iSlab, iTab, MaxiPad, like everybody was coming up with, and nobody, you know, people had said iPad, but they're like, oh no, they'll be an idiot if they call
I thought surely there's no way they're going to call it that.
Right, exactly. So we don't know. I mean, people say iWatch just because it's the easiest name to keep track of, but I'm sure it will have some painstakingly obvious name once it actually comes out.
Probably. Okay, onwards. Let's talk about iPad mini rumors.
Just iPad rumors in general.
You want to talk? You want to talk iPad rumors in general? Okay.
Well, it's mainly iPad mini, but I mean, we've got two lines of iPads that are due for an upgrade this fall, don't we?
We do indeed. Do you have anything shiny and new there you want to share?
Well, there's been some reports from, I mean, not super reliable, but enough to raise an eyebrow from some Taiwanese sources and the ever faithful DigiTimes. You know, it's not stuff that should be totally not looked at. I mean, people have been debating when Apple will do a Retina iPad mini. And a lot of people are saying that they are not going to be able to do it in time for the second gen release this fall, which is what's expected. And now some reports are saying that that's indeed the case. And what I think is the most interesting part of it is that there's specifically like the Economic Daily News was saying that we may get like a 6-month upgrade. So they release like a second gen, and then like what they did with the iPad 3.
That made me so mad.
Because if it is an issue of the displays not being ready and they're not being able to mass produce a display that's that high pixel density at that size, and they need to wait a little while to get it all together, then. But my thing is like, well, just don't release it. Just wait. Because why would you? You know, why would you do that and then just do a Retina version? I don't think that's going to happen. I think the second gen iPad mini has to be Retina, right? Because then they'd have to wait another year.
Well, I would agree with you and say that they should just wait. That would be ideal. I don't necessarily think that's what Apple's going to do. With the iPad 3 to the iPad 4, I was shocked when they released that updated one. You know, I think it was 7 months later. Yeah.
It would have been more shocking if it was actually kind of a huge upgrade. I mean, all they really did was add Lightning. I mean, it's not like they released a new design or anything like that, you know?
Yeah, the LTE was better too.
I mean, but that's still not the reason that worked is because it wasn't a huge upgrade. But if you do like a second gen iPad mini that's just kind of got the normal stuff, no Retina screen, and then 6 months later they're like, oh, hey, here's a Retina version, but that's not going to fly.
I mean, people would be pissed. Can you imagine if you bought an iPad mini and then a month later they released a Retina version for the same price?
And if people were so pissed about the fourth gen iPad, then I mean, I can't imagine what would happen if that happened with the mini. So I can't see Apple doing that, because then the other option is that they wait till next fall for the Retina, and all of their devices are Retina going forward. I mean, even the budget iPhone is supposed to be Retina. So, you know, that's what they're pushing is Retina. iOS 7 is the most retinified software they've ever put out. I mean, it's obviously
you're on a roll. Retinified.
I mean, it is. It's you can barely read it on a Retina device. I can't imagine an iPad mini. So,
you mean iOS 7?
Yeah.
Huh. I mean, that's a good point, especially with all those thin fonts and stuff.
It's very obvious that we're in a Retina age, and Apple is pushing that. And I just can't see them.
Yeah,
going,
I don't think they're going to backtrack at this point.
Yeah,
they want to move everything to Retina.
Right. And then on the iPad, the main iPad front, I think that could be a really attractive device as well, because that's what I still have. I have the biggest iPad, and I love it. I love the size. You know, people say they want the smaller screen, and I get that. But for me, the 10 inches is good enough. Bazinga! Oh,
that's what I hear.
enough, but... They're saying it's going to have a slimmer bezel, thinner, you know, lighter, obviously, all that stuff.
Faster, stronger. No one cares about any of that stuff. Everyone just wants a Retina.
A thinner, you know, edge-to-edge screen, bigger iPad it'll be hot.
Yeah, I hope they don't make the bezel too thin, because, you know, you need to be able to handle the thing without putting your ape hands all over the actual screen itself.
Yeah.
So there's that.
True. That's very
true. Let's wrap up with one last port on this news cruise, shall we?
Yeah.
And I believe you wrote this one. Apple wants to pay networks for skipped ads in upcoming TV service.
Yeah.
Tell us about this, Alex.
Yeah, well, Apple's, we've been talking about this forever, about how it can make the Apple TV better and do a streaming service. Mm-hmm. And that's what it, the company's been trying to do for a long time. And a recent report was talking about how they're trying to offer this kind of premium service for the networks that would allow, it would allow users to skip ads for live television, but then it would also compensate the networks and advertisers for the lost revenue. So that's the problem with like DVRs. I mean, Dish was sued over it. I remember when it first came out, because users were all of a sudden able to skip ads when they recorded a show, and the networks were not happy about that. And that's just the age we're in, right? People record shows and then you skip through all of them, through all the commercials. And it's just how it works. And so Apple's trying to do what they do best, which is kind of adapt and push things forward. So they're trying to incentivize people to hop on their bandwagon with stuff like this. So it's just another example of how they're trying to get this off the ground.
Well, this seems like it would be a great deal, or at least a good deal for you know, all the content creators, all the studios, because as you said, does anyone, at least in the US, I can't speak for other countries because I don't know what it's like in many of those countries, but we all DVR everything. Does anyone watch live TV anymore? I can't remember the last time I've sat through commercials on purpose. It's only ever because I forget to fast forward on my TiVo. You have a DVR, don't you?
Yeah. Well, I'm actually a cable cutter. I don't even have cable.
Oh.
And I have, Irfan, I cannot tell you the last time that I sat through an entire TV ad. I literally cannot tell you. I do not remember.
Let alone been, 10 or 12,
right,
or 15.
And so, I mean, the only thing I can think of is like Olympics or like Super Bowl or like big events where everyone's watching and, you know, you're at a party and it's playing and you'll see an ad or something like that. Or like people watch the Super Bowl to watch the ads. I mean,
yeah,
there's like,
exactly,
there's examples like that. But for day-to-day programming, I mean, I never watch ads. I mean, if I'm online, of course I don't watch ads. If an ad comes on Hulu or something, I just go to another tab until it's over.
Oh, does it not pause when you do that?
No. That would be crazy if it did.
Interesting.
That.
That wouldn't even surprise me if they did that.
I'd be so mad if that happens.
Because, I mean, I kind of feel bad for all these people paying for commercials, because they've got to know. All of us are TiVoing or recording this stuff anyway. So if Apple could figure out a way to be like, hey, look, it's obvious everyone's already DVRing all this stuff. Let us just pay you some money. We'll take your content. And then if people skip over the ads, which everyone's going to do, why would anyone sit through the ads if they had a choice? Yeah. You know, we'll give you like 2 cents.
Yeah.
They fast forward through 10 minutes of ad. You get your 2 cents. It'll come in the form of Apple credit. You can use it on the App Store.
And then we'll get a 30% off of what you
use. Exactly.
Brilliant.
All righty. Well, that's all the news we got this week, but we're not done yet. We've got two brand new segments we're introducing.
Wow.
I know. Crazy, right? Good things come in threes, although I guess we only have two. That was kind of a funny cartoon laugh you just did there. So like, yeah, exactly. Family Guy. This first one, which we almost called just the tips, decided against that. It's now Tips Ahoy. And for those of you cookie lovers,
Tips Ahoy!
And this is a brand new segment where we reveal iOS, Mac, OS 10 tips, little tidbits that will help you to compute better, faster. And not only are they coming from us, we actually polled our listeners, and you guys came up with a ton of great ones on Twitter and on Facebook. So thank you, everyone, for contributing those. Got a lot of great ones. Not going to be able to make it through all of them. But, Alex, actually, I was going to ask you, did you have one you wanted to contribute? Because if you do, I'll let you start.
Mm-hmm. I have a cool one in iOS 7. But
okay, let's do it. We actually got a ton of iOS 7 ones as well.
All you suckers that don't have it.
Yeah, most people don't have it yet.
Yeah, well, it's really cool actually in iMessage now, or actually in any message. It doesn't have to be iMessage.
Anything
in the Messages app, if you swipe from the right to left, like away from the right side of the screen in a message conversation, it will reveal timestamps for every single message.
Hey, finally. That's really handy.
It's really handy. It's awesome. So in the past, like iOS 6 would just kind of lump stuff together if it was within the same time interval. But now you can see individual timestamps for every message just by pulling from right to left.
Hey-o! So,
cool.
That's awesome. That's a great tip. And for those people, which is pretty much everyone that don't have iOS 7, gonna be useful once you get that in your hands in fall. This one comes from Albert Gross from our Facebook page, and then also Lee on Twitter. Thanks for this one, guys. They say, in iOS, well, this is Albert speaking. In iOS, use the keyboard shortcuts to quickly fill out your email address and other information you usually need to repeat often. For instance, I have it so that when I type GMA, it replaces that with my Gmail address. You can access this feature by going to Settings, General, Keyboard, Shortcuts. Do you use this ever, Alex?
Yeah, this is like Text Expander. This is
exactly
the keyboard shortcut thing. Yeah, it's really helpful. It's cool. I do it for my email address and a couple other things.
And super useful if you want to troll your friends. Just go into their phone and replace words like the and with words that are hyper offensive.
Yes.
So that when they're typing, those get replaced. Thanks for the tip, Albert. Tips ahoy! We got one from Mark Reed. He says, ever wanted to lock your iPhone on landscape orientation? Orientation lock only locks in portrait mode, he says. First, enable portrait orientation lock via the Fast app switcher. Then via assistive touch, then go to Settings, General, Accessibility. You can rotate the screen. Boom, locked in landscape. Hey-o! Thanks for that one, Mark. Let me see here. Chris Russell from Twitter says, any conversation about Mac OS X should begin with Alfred, which I know you love as well, Alex. Yes?
Yeah.
Of course,
so
Alfred's
Chris Russell,
launcher.
Go to cultofmac.com, search Alfred Workflows, and yeah, that's me.
So there's Alfred Workflows. Alfred's a great launcher. You can also use Spotlight as a launcher to launch apps.
Yeah, if you're... I'm sorry. I didn't mean to offend anyone.
No, I'm going to bleep that out. I'm going to bleep out that swear word that you used.
Okay.
You can use Spotlight as an app launcher. I mean, going to Finder and launching apps from the dock, that's all fine and well and good, but it just shows everyone how inexperienced you are. And let's be honest, no ladies are going to want to date you when they see how inexperienced of a Mac user you are.
Yeah.
So make sure you get yourself an app launcher. Makes life easier. You can also use Quicksilver, which I believe is free.
Am I right?
But it works. It's basic. And then there's also Launch Bar, which I believe is $35.
Just get Alfred.
I was very happy with Launch Bar, but I did switch to Alfred. So
yep.
There's that. And let's see here. Okay, let's wrap up with this one for Tips Ahoy. This one comes from Twitter. WA Macker says, if useless Facebook contacts and information are clogging up your phone app, does that ever happen to you, Alex?
They were in my calendar for a long time.
Drives me crazy when I look and it says someone's email address is like blah, blah, blah at facebook.com. You can disable these. Go to Settings, Facebook, Contacts, and you can churn off that integration. Booyah! Thank you, Wah Macker on Twitter, for that tip. And thank you, everyone, for all your great tips. We'll definitely do this again. This has been Tips Ahoy! Helping you compute better. And let's wrap up with another brand new segment. Alex, I'm calling this one Under Review. Now... Mm-hmm. We do faves and raves, which we love, but the thing about faves and raves is we only get to pitch things that we actually love. But as you and I know, we're reviewing things that we love and that we don't love. Often they're apps or hardware. So this segment gives us an opportunity to speak about anything that we're reviewing and just kind of give both the pros and the cons, since we're not trying to win a competition. And I know you're reviewing a pretty snazzy piece of hardware. Do you want to tell us what that is?
Yeah, I'm reviewing a Next Desk standing desk.
Is it Next NEXT?
Yeah.
Okay, Next Desk.
Yeah, and I won't give any more info because I'm just going to say that for the review, but it's really hot. It's a mahogany slab of wood on top of an electric rising system, and it's got
like
a little,
we should be playing some like sexy R&B music right now.
Yeah, it's got a keypad on the side where you can have four individual presets. One will take you up, and two will take you down. And no, it's good. It gets to 47 centimeters.
Oh, good. Why would anyone need a desk that high? Ooh, I'm looking at this thing. This thing is svelte.
Yeah, it's really hot.
Apparently, it helps your spine.
It does. It is. That's going to be in my review. But sitting kills you.
Yeah,
it really does. Like,
but
your body
feels
is
so
not,
good.
Your body's not designed to sit like at all. So, it's dude, it's helped my back so much. I've been using it every day.
So this thing auto raise and lower and stuff.
Yeah, it's got a keypad you can program so you can have presets.
Dang.
It's so sick. And okay. So like what I do, because I don't like to stand all day long because it gets, you know, your feet get tired. So what I do is I stand for like 2 hours and then I sit for an hour and then I do that. I just rotate back and forth throughout the day. And it's been great on my back and my neck because I can, I'm not you know, hunched over my keyboard anymore.
Yeah. Down.
So it's been
really
good.
Because you are kind of a hunchback.
Yeah, I am. And it also helps with your energy for real. Like, it keeps me awake because I would just be sitting at my desk sometimes and it's mid-afternoon and you kind of get that afternoon slump and you're like, oh, I'm so tired. But when you're standing up.
Hard to go to sleep.
It keeps you awake.
Unless you're a horse or an elephant. Right.
Good call on that.
All right, great. Well, I'm reviewing a little piece of gear called a Pulse. It's from Withings. Have you heard of it, Alex?
Nope.
So, like the Fitbit, like the other wearable tech that monitor your health, this thing is pretty cool. So, you wear it on a little clip, and you can keep it in your pocket, too. Not very big. It's about the size of, I don't know, 2/4 side by side. And it tracks your steps, so it's a pedometer. You can actually take your heart rate with it. It has a little sensor on the back that you can take your pulse with. And then it also measures your sleep habits. So you put this thing, you take it out of the little clip, you put it on a little bracelet, and you can wear it when you go to sleep. And the cool part about this one is that, like Withings' other hardware devices, we've talked about their smart scale before, is it uploads all this stuff into your phone and you can view this information on your iPhone. So you can view, you know, how many steps you've taken each day over time. You can view your weight if you have the smart scale, because all these things integrate all into one app. And then it helps you kind of track your overall fitness and health. So it gives you like this weird butterfly thing that lights up in different areas that shows you you're getting too fat, or you're not taking enough steps, or you're not sleeping enough, all this stuff. Really cool, but I've experienced a pretty major problem with it. And I want to caveat, I think this thing's still in beta because it's not for sale yet, as far as I can tell. I have noticed that when it tries to connect to my iPhone, it does so via Bluetooth. And if you remove the pulse from the vicinity of the iPhone while it's transferring, it does not give up. So it has a rechargeable battery, but you'll be using it and it will be fully charged, and then you'll go to like pair it or something, and it's just totally dead. Because once it tries to make that connection, if it can't transfer all of its data over to the iPhone, it just dies because it doesn't stop trying. And it doesn't reconnect once your iPhone gets into the proper range. So I'm hoping that this is just a software thing, because this device is actually pretty cool. And it's really motivated me to walk a lot more, because on your iPhone, you can boot it up. You can boot up the Withings app, and you can see how much you've walked for like the last, I don't know, 2 weeks or something, how much your weight has fluctuated as you've taken all those different steps. So definitely recommend it. But everyone should be aware of this flaw. They do hardware or firmware updates pretty regularly, and they're really easy to do as well. You just update them right from your iPhone, and touchscreen device too, so you can scroll through like 3 or 4 days of history of how many steps you've taken, and like the elevations that you've walked each day. So it'll tell you like how much, you know, up a mountain, down a mountain you've walked each day. And that's the Withings Pulse. No vote required. Well,
we've officially found your Sonos. So,
hey, I liked it. You know what? Let me see here. Let me open up my timer. I was only talking about that for maybe 3 minutes, possibly four.
Felt like hours.
Okay, well, you know what? Leander talked about Sonos for at least 2.5 hours. Were you on that episode?
I don't even know. Oh, well, one
if
thing
we hadn't have cut him off, the episode would have never ended. He would have just kept talking about it.
Yeah,
and he would have missed
true.
His family vacation. It would have never ended.
Well, I have one more. I have a piece of software I'm reviewing that's super mega cool.
Okay, well, now my expectations are set very high. Go ahead.
DJ 2.
Oh.
Do you know DJ, the DJ app?
Yeah, I know DJ. He's way cool.
No, yeah, shut up. No, it's DJAY.
Yeah.
By Algorithm, I think. I don't even know how to pronounce
it. I think you said it correctly.
But it's a sick kind of really easy to use. DJ app. It's totally sick, bruh.
I know how much you like to DJ at your night raves, so is this helping you?
And it's on the Mac and iPhone and iPad, and DJ 2 is coming out.
And you've gotten an early preview.
And I have it, and it is hot. Let me just tell you.
Is it on a scale of much better, way better, or not really better than the first one?
Way better.
Really?
Like sets the bar for
wow
DJ apps. Like it's I can't say anything specific about it because I'm sworn to secrecy until the review goes up. But
when does the review go up?
Next week.
Okay.
So just keep everyone keep your eyes peeled to Cult of Mac and it'll be there. But
for all
it's
of our IDJs.
It's sick. I mean there are parts of this app that are their own app. Like it could be its own app, but it's just part of DJ 2. And it could easily be the best, you know, so and so app, but it just happens to be one part of this app. And it really takes like consumer prosumer DJing to the next level, I think. And there's a lot of stuff that professionals will love too. So
Man, that app gets a lot of love from Apple too. They are always reaching they feature that thing in commercials.
Yeah. Well, it won a design award.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's in commercials, and I mean, it's you know, it's pushing what the iPhone and iPad could do. So,
Every time I think about that app, I think about I met the founder or the guy whose idea it originally was, or the CEO, Karam? Or president. I think so. Yeah,
you met him?
I believe so. Yeah,
dude, no way. I was just on the phone with him yesterday. Well, we were talking about the app.
He's pretty laid back. Yeah,
he was a pro DJ back in the 90s, right?
Was he really? Okay, yeah. Then maybe I didn't meet the guy because the guy I met, I was looking at him. I was looking at the app. I was looking at the app, and I thought to myself, this guy does not seem like he's very excited.
Did he have long curly black hair?
Yeah, was that the guy?
Was that him?
Yeah, I think that was him. Yeah.
Yeah, he's the CEO.
So he was a pro DJ?
Yeah, he was a pro DJ.
I must have caught him on one of his off days.
No, dude, he was like traveling like in Europe and stuff. He was a big deal.
Oh, so he was like a European DJ. So
no,
he was like
States too.
Okay.
But
he was
yeah.
like taking those mind altering tablets, putting some glow sticks
he's
on.
A great guy.
No doubt. He's obviously very good at making apps too. He has beautiful black curly hair. That's going for him as well. Hey, let's wrap it up there, shall we?
That'd be good. Good
let's do it. Hoo yeah. All right, guys. That's all the Cultcast we have for you guys this week. There are only two Twitter handles you need to remember. At Erfon, E-R-F-O-N, at Alex E. Heath. Those are also our Instagram handles. If you want to see us going to John Mayer concerts together, if you want to see the kinds of foods that we eat, all of our 15-second
to your daughters.
If you want to hear Alex singing that incessantly, the entire song,
I can do.
Definitely hook up with us on Instagram. And of course, for all the best news, reviews, and how-tos in the world of Apple, make sure you're following Cult of Mac. This has been the Cultcast, the best sometimes 30-minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. New episodes of the Cultcast come out every Thursday night. I want to thank everyone for listening. We will see you guys next time.
Because we turn into mothers. So mothers be good to your daughters too.
Oh, we did. That is the coolest thing. You're a good singer.
Thank you. I really think we should have named that segment I'd Tip That.
I'd Tip That.
Yeah.
What's that a play on, though? I'd Tap That. I see where you're going with that, freaking perv.
Hey, it's just, you know, it is what it is.
Oh, wait, maybe I'm the perv, because maybe you didn't mean that.
Yeah, you're the perv, man.
Yeah, you could have meant that in a totally benign way. I apologize.
Gosh.
You know, I think Tips Ahoy is good. Tips Ahoy!
When somebody accidentally is, well, they're getting their motorcycle license and they accidentally tell you that they can't wait to ride you.
You know, I have my motorcycle license and I've never heard anyone say that to me.
Yeah. Those awkward moments.